So I want to share with you before we get started just a little inspiration that I got last night. I don't know whether it's the Holy Spirit or what it is, but I kind of get these little inspirations in my life. And so I was having dinner last night, and Roger Cockrell was sitting across from me, and we were talking real estate of all things in the City of Falls Church. And I had talked about how the two houses down here, how one had sold and one had not. And I said, well, you know, the problem is they have these rock walls. And I mentioned to him that, you know, we have a rock wall in front of Doolin. What had happened was when they built Broad Street from two lanes to four lanes, there were a bunch of humps in Broad Street. So they cut them out. And when they cut out those humps, they created these walls. And I talked to Roger about how, you know, I'm sorry we have this wall in front of our building. It's just a barrier. And, you know, if I had been here, I would have had them slope it up so there wouldn't be such a wall. But then, you know, I had an inspiration. You know, this wall out front could be Doolin's Wailing Wall. It can be like in Jerusalem. They've got the Wailing Wall. So during Lent, I've got it all planned out. You can call me being shrewd or whatever you want to call it, but I've got it all planned out. But during Lent, we're in church. We're going to write our little prayers, and we're going to go outside, and we're going to find some little cracks in that wall, and we're going to put our prayers, and I'm going to call the Falls Church News Press up and tell them this is a big photo event for them and get them to take a picture. What do you think about that? Do I get an amen? Amen. Amen. That's great. So taking this wall I do not like, and finally, after 20 years, finding something good out of that wall. And that can be pretty cool. And, you know, that could be something where we could put a little sign, and we have a lot of street folks that walk down the street. That wall could be a place of hope for them to put their prayer or whatever needed in the world they have. So that's in my whirly bank right now, in my brain. I'm working that out, but that's what we're going to do, or at least I'm going to try to do. So we're looking at shrewdness in this particular parable, and I will tell you, friends, I have never done so much work of working on a sermon than this one, of seeing what other people had to say. I went on YouTube and listened to preachers preach this, and everybody has their own version of what should be right. So I just decided what I'm going to do is going to be right, whether it's right or wrong. So this is where we're at this particular parable. It's called the Parable of the Shrewd Manager. So, of course, what I needed to do was think of the word shrewd. And it has, I would say, some negative connotations. We think of shrewdness as someone being shrewd in business or politics or crime, how they used their way to get to the end result. And a lot of times we say, wow, that was really clever how that person got to the end of that event. So I decided, of course, to go and look up what the word shrewd means. And so I came up with these various definitions. I love this one. Sharp and intelligent, but underhanded at the same time. Cagey. Clever. Foxy. Keenness on practical matters. Well-devised schemes. Wily and artful ways. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to look up what the word wily is. I don't know what wily is. And wily means skilled at gaining an advantage. And when I thought about that word wily, what did I think about? Wily E. Coyote. So I did a little research on Wily E. Coyote. I remember as a kid, I loved, who is he after? He's after the Roadrunner. What does he want to do to the Roadrunner? Eat him. So he's got to use these schemes. He's got to be shrewd to try and get this Roadrunner. And so I kind of went online to see the various ways that he did that. He used some simple and some complex contraptions. And as I was going through this list, I can remember these specific cartoons of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. What did he use in his shrewdness? bird seed, nitroglycerin, a weather balloon. I remember this one. Rocket-powered roller skates, a boomerang, grease, a tornado kit, invisible paint, dynamite, detonator, steamroller, jet-propelled pogo stick, a molecular transporter, take that, Star Trek, an anvil. And what company made most of these products? Acme, we all remember that. TV Guide named Wile E. Coyote as one of the top nastiest villains on television. And yet he never could win. There would be some times when something would happen and you see the imprint of him on the back of a rock. Or you can see the times when he would go over the cliff, and what would happen is you'd kind of have this bird's eye view of him going spiraling down, and then he would disappear. And a couple seconds later, what would you see? Poof, a little poof of smoke. Poor Wile E. Coyote, it never worked for him. He was clever, but it didn't work out. I went to see Downton Abbey this past weekend. Anybody went to see that? Let me tell you, friends, the people on that show, they're shrewd. I won't give it away, but the downstairs staff, they're shrewd. And so is Violet Crawley, the Dowager Countess. She's the shrewdest character on television there has ever been. But let's look at this story. There's the rich man, there's the manager, and there's what we're going to call the merchants. So there is this rich man, and he has lots of property. He has acres and acres of land that are farmed. He has acres of land that there are olive trees. There are acres of land that there are for vineyards. He owns houses. He owns a lot. He owns so much that he is able to just stay in the city and enjoy his riches. So he employs a manager. And the manager's job is to go out to all of these fields, to all of these places, and collect rent, collect money, whatever is owed to this rich man. He's the one who goes out and collects the rent and brings it back for the rich man. And in this, working with these merchants and with all these village folks, it's found out that he's skimming off the top a little bit. He's kind of making a little underhanded deals with folks. He's taking some money away from this rich man. And word gets back to this rich man. He says, you know, I hear that your manager here, you know, he's doing some deals with these folks and you're not getting all your money. So the rich man is incensed. So he calls in the manager and he says, manager, I understand that you've been doing this to me, and so I want you to go out and I want you to make all the accounts manageable and accountable and then come back. The mistake of the rich man is that he didn't fire him right away. He gave him 2 weeks' notice. So what happens with 2 weeks' notice is that this manager is able to kind of protect himself. He knows he's going to be fired and he's thinking, my gosh, I'm going to be homeless. What am I going to do? So he goes to these various people that owe money. He says, you know, you owe $1,000, give me $500. You owe $300, give me $200. You owe me 50 barrels of oil, give me $30. So he makes all these deals to get this money for him. The rich man comes in and he finds out what has been going on with this manager. And you would think that the rich man is enraged that this manager is cutting all these deals, so he's not getting enough money. But what does the manager say? But he says, you know what? You are shrewd. He commends him for acting shrewdly. We don't expect that in the story. So what I came up with in one sentence that was so good is this. This manager took what was a bad situation and used his resources to make life better for him. Listen to that again. This manager took what was a bad situation and used his resources to make life better for him. Jesus is saying, wow, it was okay. The end result for me in this story is relationships. There were some relationships that were broken. There was tension between the manager and the rich man. There was tension between the manager and the villagers having to pay their wage. And in the end, what happened? The rich man, he was still rich. He lost some money, big deal. But he was still rich. The manager, I think because of his commendation, he probably got his job back, but Jesus doesn't tell us that. We're to figure that out for ourselves. And then the villagers, the merchants, some of their debts were taken care of so that life wasn't so hard for them, and life was better for the villages that they were a part of, and they could prosper. Relationships and indebtedness canceled. I think that speaks for this story today. I was thinking about what Jesus had to say about how it seems that it's okay to do these kinds of things in our life, to be shrewd. And he says, you know, we have to be like people that are living on the around us and not like children of the light. Because what he's saying is, church, you cannot be separate from the world, but you have to be part of the world. The church has to live in the world. And you know what, church? The world is dirty. The world is unclean. The world is sinful. And that makes it hard for us. And there are times in our lives as a church that we need to do the same. We need to be scheming to do things that we need to do to be successful, to use the resources that we have. I've been reading the last few weeks. We are in our denomination where we are. There is going to be a general conference in 2020. And there are several groups that have gotten together, and they have put across their plan. And there are, I believe there are four main plans that are going on. And, you know, they're using their resources to put across what they feel is best for our church. And in May 2020, we'll see how the Holy Spirit and those delegates deal with this issue of sexuality in our church and how we're to come about it. In each one of those plans, there is separation. In each one, there is separation. So we will have to see what happens. It'll be interesting that as we watch these events take place, shrewdness is going to be present. But you know what? I believe God is shrewd as well. And I think people forget that. God can be shrewd as well. And then I had one more closing comment here. It's also about faithfulness. Jesus says that those who have a little bit of faith can create larger faith in our lives. And I thought about faithfulness that we have here at Doolin Church. There's not many of us here that are going to write a book. There's not many of us here that are going to end in war. There's not many of us here that are going to be burned at the stake. But you know, there are folks that are here that are going to help Ministry of Hope. There are folks that are here that are going to help with ESL that we started this past week. There are folks here that are going to attend the home stretch event that we have. There are folks here that are going to visit somebody in an assisted living facility. There are folks here that are going to write a letter to someone letting them know they miss them or that they love them. There's somebody here that's going to watch their neighbor's cat. Those are little signs of faithfulness that grow and grow and grow into larger acts of faithfulness. So this week, think about shrewdness in our lives. I don't see myself as a shrewd person. I'm in a small group of men, and we did, it's called the Clifton Strengths. And I'll tell you what my strengths were learner, achiever, discipline, responsibility, maximizer. And I said, okay. One of those is strong influencer, and I like to influence people in my own way behind the scenes. So I looked in this little book here that has all these attributes, and I wanted to see if they had one on shrewdness. And they didn't, but I'll show you the one that I thought was the closest. The closest was someone who is strategic. And I have known people that you can give them a problem, and you can see the wheels just turning in their minds about how to do this. And so it's interesting how they talked about this. He said, this is your strategic theme at work. What if select and strike? Not everyone is going to be shrewd. But there is room for shrewdness in our life and shrewd people. And I love the definition that I had. Shrewdness is where we use the resources that we have to make our life better. There are times in our lives in this church where we have to use the resources that we have to make our church better in a way that we least expected. Shrewdness. Go home and read that parable again. And then it ends with this for the scripture. What is it going to be in our lives? Is it going to be the boat, the house, the plane trip, or is it going to be the cross? That was the point of this little exercise for today. All these possessions turned in for the cross. That's what Jesus is telling us. What's important in our lives? Money and possessions and stuff? Or the cross of Jesus Christ? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together,